Welcome to another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, this is Uncensored. I'm Penny Faree. From accountability inside Kodikuza Municipality to audit outcomes and governance concerns affecting our communities, there are serious questions that demand clarity. In studio today is Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association Vice Chairman Brian Pottinger, helping us to unpack the latest developments and explain what they mean for residents. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Penny. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, let's begin with the COCTA Section 106 investigation. Now, this process was now moved from finding to action, and council initiated precautionary suspension processes against the three senior officials following weeks of in-committee deliberations. For listeners who may not have followed this closely, a Section 106 investigation is a formal provincial intervention triggered when there are credible allegations of maladministration, financial failure, or abuse of municipal systems. This investigation was launched after formal complaints were submitted by DOCRA in late 2024, alongside concerns raised by opposition parties. Now, the provincial department initiated the investigation in March 2025 after they actually met with DOCRA, and the report has since been completed and presented in council. And all that has been discussed has been an in-committee item, meaning it was discussed behind closed doors. But the tension is this. The report reportedly deals with issues relating to public funds, governance, and institutional controls. Now, Brian, in portions of the report that are legally releasable, does council have a duty to make them public now? And if, and I know that they haven't, and DOCRA has been pressing for the report to be made public. Is there any recourse that is available to civic organizations to actually get these documents released other than being leaked to the public via certain channels?
Penny, yes, there are ways in which one can do that. And just to a bit of background, we have consistently said to the municipality, and we've had in our meetings, our executive meetings with the speaker and the municipal manager and the mayor, we've said we fully understand the principle that you don't want to release information that may jeopardize a live inquiry. None of us have an interest in seeing somebody who should be prosecuted and convicted for an offense going free because we have jeopardized that inquiry. So we perfectly understand that. But we said between that and public information, there's actually a simple gap.
Yeah.
And you need to give us basic information about what's going on. You may redact it if you want. You may take out the names of the individuals, but you have an obligation to say, this is what we are looking at. Now, we haven't had that yet.
Yes.
And it's a big problem because actually a big chunk of the council's activities has moved into secrecy. There are in-committee items over and over and over again. They have sat in committee 17 times in the last 3 months. Cumulatively, that is days of council time spent debating stuff in secrecy.
Yeah.
So what you essentially have, you have a well-informed council, a well-informed municipal bureaucracy, and an uninformed public. That's not good.
Yeah.
So that's the background. We've been pushing this for a very long time, and we will continue to push it.
Yeah.
But in specific terms, what can we do? We have asked for that COCTA 106 report to be released. It's been tabled in council. It's been debated in council. We've moved into the next phase, which is called the action plan phase, and yet we don't have the report.
It's just
so we are now and have begun a process through the Promotion of Access to Information Act to actually formally apply to the municipality and to COCTA simultaneously. Please give us this report.
Yeah, and have they responded to
They respond to the acknowledgement of the application.
Okay.
Now they have a certain period of time to respond.
Days.
And that's the process which is underway now. We are hoping that COCTA and the council will say, okay, guys, we've moved so far down this process. Let's put the report out.
Yeah.
So we can get to understand. But having said that, Penny, as you know, now they've moved on to the action plan. We've had sight of that action plan, and that gives us a very clear indicator of who's in the loop. And what were the, not the offences yet, because understand this is just a preliminary inquiry.
Yes.
So they're findings, not criminal charges. But we've got now a very good idea what everybody's looking at.
And those were actually leaked as well. They weren't formally shared.
They were not formally released by the council.
That's right.
They were leaked, and it comes back to your point.
Yeah.
Why do we have to get information through leaked sources?
Yeah. Especially when it's public funds. that, you know, I understand the legality of being in committee if it's a human resources issue and the arts.
We understand that. We're perfectly sympathetic to that. We have no interest in jeopardizing or obstructing the process of the criminal justice process.
Yeah.
But we do need information. We do need information. You cannot have council sitting in secrecy day after day, cumulatively, on a number of issues. And let's not forget, 106 is just one issue. There's other issues.
Yes.
There are lots of other issues which are popping up in the council. And we have to either get it through leaks or guess at what it is.
Do you think this will result in meaningful accountability if we, you know, if something comes out of this COCTA, or are we at risk again of another report that produces no structural change?
No, Penny, I'm hugely encouraged by what's taken place. Let's just take a step back. You know, it is almost exactly the anniversary of when DOCRA handed over its lever-arch file of information to COCTA, who then responded very quickly. So, A, COCTA responded quickly. That's positive. There was an inquiry, which in the broad sweep of bureaucratic government was quite quick.
Yes, yeah, the turnaround was surprising.
A report came out. It was tabled in the council. And here's the important point. Everybody in the council accepted it. It was a unanimously accepted report. Across party lines, unanimously accepted. And I must give credit to our current mayor, Mayor Gomedi. I think he had a big role to play in pulling the council together and saying, we got a problem, we must sort it. And so that to me is enormously encouraging. The way forward, let's be honest, we're going to go in through a long and protracted period of legal and criminal and inquiry processes at which we hope eventually we'll get conclusion. One way or the other, are people guilty? Aren't they? Are they guilty merely of being incompetent, or are they guilty of being criminal? At the end of that process, that's where we want to be. Yeah. But we started, and we must just push it forward.
It is. I mean, I think this is the first time that there has been so much action when we're looking at council. And I just want to move on to electricity, because this was another phase that DOCRA initiated with NERSA. And I want to go back to the Auditor General's latest findings that were tabled recently in council, and that reflects significant operational strain. Irregular expenditure exceeded 100 million, and then we have electricity losses, 386 million, that were attributed to inefficiencies and theft during the reporting period. Now, DOCRA approached NERSA last year, which prompted regulatory oversight, and they did a full technical audit, a recovery plan was developed, you know, a task team was put together, my mistake. And then from there were processes that were put in place. Why are we not seeing any change in the losses that were reflected in this recent audit report?
There's probably a million answers to that. I have to tell you, our personal view is there's still a lack of urgency to deal with this thing, and then there's a serious question about a lack of capacity. Are there people in place to be able to deal with this? A massive problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, further to that, is there a question of failure to be transparent and so on? So can we sort this issue? Yeah, of course. It's a human problem that's being created, and humans can fix their own problems.
Yeah.
Do we have the momentum to do it right now? We're not seeing it. We are concerned about specific issues, for example, and I want to go in detail about that, but there are proposals for a way in which we can deal with large power users and how we can get better meterage. There is a solution which is being offered by a private company. It has been hanging around for 6 months now. It could provide a major contribution to helping sort the problem. It's not the end all, but it's there. It's been caught up in bureaucratic processes and backwards and forwards, and are the minutes correct? Did they reflect what was decided, et cetera? So that's what we're saying. We're concerned about a lack of urgency. We're concerned about a lack of capacity, and we're concerned about ultimately transparency.
It sounds like political will is at play here.
Utterly political will.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that you've got different players involved. You've got local council, and then you've got Eskom. You've got other bodies, and everybody's tends to blame shift. So, for example, what could have been a major contribution to solution of our problem, the Dukuza Power Station, massively delayed in commissioning and energizing. Well, there's a finger pointing. Oh, Eskom's got to put in the main supplies, and
so, company went under. Blah blah.
But I want to make this point, this real positive for us.
Yeah.
We are very excited about this. Is that in the National Energy Regulations Act, there is a provision for something called an end user forum.
Yes.
And that's what we've been pushing and pushing and pushing since the report came out and since we started engaging with NERSA. We've been saying, how does this thing work? Basically what it is a group which is established in terms of law, so statutory. So if it's established, you can't suddenly say, I'm not going to pitch for the meeting or I'm not going to tell you this. It's there. And that end user forum, which is called now the Kodakuza Electricity End User Forum, has been established. It's been established under the chairmanship of NERSA. The person who is, in fact, the adjudicator of disputes at NERSA chairs our end user forum. She's been, in our view, enormously effective and impressive. I understand why NERSA wants this to work, and they more or less hinted it to us. They've got 247 troubled municipalities. They would very much like local communities and local municipalities to take charge of their own problems. They're looking to us here in Little Kodakuza to create a kind of model that can be replicated. Yeah. So there's a lot that's rolling on this that goes beyond simply.
And you've met, so this has.
We've had two meetings. Okay. The first meeting was just an inaugural meeting in which we just basically set the terms of what we're going to do. The second meeting we had 10 days ago, and that was essentially the formal meeting. We adopted the terms of reference. We termed, this is crucial, we've adopted what we call a performance protocol, which says if a party asks for information, these are the processes by which they can get it. If they can't, it gets escalated through a process. And so it's no point just running around ducking and diving.
Yeah.
There. The point of this is that it is a NERSA-appointed body, not a municipal body. We are there essentially as participants, but essentially invitees of NERSA. As long as NERSA stays on site and drives this, which they're currently doing, we have great, great confidence. Now, at the last meeting, apart from all the boring bureaucratic stuff and working out who's going to take the minutes and who's going to do this and who's making the coffee and all that sort of stuff that you always have when you're setting something up, we got to some standard stuff. And the most important, Penny, coming back to what you were talking about, the NERSA audit, we said we're taking that NERSA audit and their findings, and that is the core operational agenda of this body.
Yeah.
And every time we meet, KDM will come and report what they're doing. Now, interestingly enough, it's not just us who are waiting for those reports. It's NERSA sitting in the same meeting with their head of legal and their technical people. They're sitting with us and saying to KDM, hold on a minute, you know, this report said, and your own action plan said this, you know, what's going on? So it's a good point for us to actually get a real information flow going. But more important, it's an opportunity for the parties, and understand that the LMB Chamber of Commerce is a member.
They're also sitting around the table, okay.
To just have a basic discussion, because that's how it works. It's not like what the terms of reference is, it's about what you and I, sitting down at a table, agree. So one of the things that we're looking for example, one of our technical people there, I said, look, I think we've got a better model for predicating and for anticipating tariff increases. It's a structured model. Why don't we try and see if we can develop it and we can get a much better way of predicting what is going to be required in our tariff increases. Yeah. So immediately KDM says, yeah, we're interested. Chamber of Commerce representatives there said, yeah, let's have a look at that. And so a separate little group's looking at that. I don't know if anything's going to come out of it. But it would never have occurred if we hadn't sat in that meeting.
And it's positive. But do you think change will come fast enough? Because we have been hearing via DOCRA as well and numerous other politicians and oppositions saying that if this deficit continues, it will threaten the municipality's financial stability and borrowing capacity. Where are we now? I mean, there are processes. It's very positive that they have met. They're putting these processes in place. Are we not running out of time, though?
No, we're running out of time completely. Yeah. Let's make no bones about that. This is a potential missile in the side of the Kodakuza municipality and all of us.
Yeah.
It was said very clearly at the last council meeting where they tabled their annual report for last financial year, and they reported the internal audit risk committee and the external audit risk committee reported. And the person who was reporting there, she said quite clearly, if you don't get these losses underway, you're heading for a Section 139, which means essentially administration.
Yeah.
In which none of us have an influence. We are administered by a distant appointed person. She said, we're heading for this unless we fix this. So the urgency of it is unavoidable. That's where our concern and our frustration comes with Quatakusa, and particularly with the electrical business unit. And we think that in there, there's a whole series of issues which we need to now rapidly start unpacking. There's a question about leadership competence. There's a question about commitment. There's a question about conflicts of interest. There may even be, and I'm not suggesting we have evidence of this, there may be vested interests in there. Yeah. There are a whole lot of problems. But what we're seeing in terms of outcome is by no ways comparable with the requirement. We're seeing little bits and pieces. Yeah. Like, let me tell you, this private sector contract that we were talking about, one of the components dealt with the question of electrical resales. You know, these are resales through. So it's been taken away from a previous contractor, and now in an open bidding process has gone to this. And remember, this contract is endorsed by National Treasury. It's not thumbsucked locally. It's National Treasury who's recommended what they call a transversal contract. That particular function, even though we're talking about small monies, has seen a dramatic increase in the collection of on-selling of electricity. So it shows you that if we can put this stuff in place, if we can reach out and get the help that's available, if we can get the right solutions, and if we can manage the situation, we better. But, you know, the more you watch it, and like I'm an outsider, what do I know? I'm just, you know, a little farm boy. What do I know about this stuff? But what just amazes me is how obstructive, not even deliberately obstructive, issues are. So, for example, there's a 29% vacancy rate in our electric business unit, which is the one unit that will either swim us or sink us.
Yeah.
29%.
It's just, and that's been like that for a long time.
So we say to the poor head of the electrical business, why aren't you filling this stuff? Oh, no, no. There's an organogram for the whole municipality, which has been 18 months in the making, and the council's got to approve it.
It's just
So you can't even kind of beat up on the electrical
It's not unit.
The council's at fault, you know, and so it goes and goes.
And then
goes.
Well, you look at the other side of the argument where they actually outsource it and they're looking at contractors, and then you're looking at the bloated salaries and the overtime that's getting paid, and then you actually wonder, is there actually a political will to fix it? Because there seems to be another element in play. But I need to move on because we are running out of time on the general valuation role and the property valuations, which are going to obviously determine the municipal rates for the next cycle, and residents have a limited window. And I know DOCRA has been really driving the information on your platforms. You guys have really put it out there. And I just want to say, if the single biggest mistake property owners can make when a valuation is published, what is it? Is it that they fail to lodge a complaint within the set period? What is the challenge?
I think it probably predates that. I think the most important thing is for owners to fully understand what it means. People get their valuations, suddenly see their property valuations gone up, you know, according to market sources. But what determines what you actually eventually pay is a series of other things as well. It's the level of rates, you know, the rate level. It depends on usage. You know, some people have found their properties being rezoned and the usage has changed, and suddenly they got business rates.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole lot of stuff. So you need to clearly understand what those elements are. Now, DOCRA has been driving this, and particularly my colleague Mary Kasam, who's our chief operating officer, and working with one of our executive members, John Wallace. They have done a phenomenal job. And
yeah.
I really want to shout out to them John's for what good. They've yeah. done. They've put together these things. Mary's getting together a seminar or a public seminar.
I think that's next week. Hey?
With a legal expert to just come and advise you how it goes. So a lot of effort's gone into this, and I think that's right, because that's what DOCRA should do. I would say to people, understand the issues, check carefully the documentation on the rolls. They're going to be published on February the 13th. I know it's a bit of a chore going through there, but you can get those at local libraries, or you can go online.
Yes, they have put down the venues that Just in the terms of the valuation process, what has been going through my mind is that are they not insulated from our budget deficit? You know, we've got a lot of budget pressures, and then obviously this is a possible huge revenue source for the municipality. Is there any way that we can actually see if there are any emerging patterns that will play out to support a deficit budget by actually putting your market values way up?
No, I think there's a confusion about that. You know, clearly increased rates brings in increased revenue. But the way that is done is dealt with by national legislation.
Okay.
It's not fiddleable.
Okay, that's what a lot of people have been saying. Yeah. Where is there some sort of protection where the poverty doubles?
It's not fiddleable, unfortunately. But although, of course, an extra rates income will help on the balance sheets.
Okay.
But the core issues that we're confronting is simply that we are buying electricity from Eskom and selling it much less than we paid for. Unless we fill that gap, we're in trouble. Yeah. There are other stuff that we need to do as well. We need to look effectively at the deployment of resources, overtime issues, small stuff, not small, but important stuff like 21 million rand spent on private bodyguards over so many years for our councillors. Now, we got to kneel down. We got to really get down, buckle down, and search every element of that budget. You know, you go back to the old business process of zero budgeting. You start and decide what you need from the bottom.
And just tell me quickly on Tuesday, just something with anyone who wants to attend this meeting, this residential this meeting with the ratepayers on property valuation, where is it and what time is it for those who want to attend?
I'm not going to pretend that I've got absolutely all the details.
Okay.
I would ask you please to go onto our site.
So it is. I know it's on a Tuesday, and it's going to be at the Sabiti
at the Sabiti Country Club, and I think it's at 6 o'clock. Yeah. But please check that.
So it will be on all the platforms.
It's on all the DOCRA platforms, and I would urge you to go there if you are interested. Yeah, just brush up.
And we'll unpack it as well later on. Yeah. Brian, thank you. We've run out of time. The findings are on the table. The resolutions have been taken. And what matters now is whether there's consequences and there is some sort of correction flow. And we're going to continue tracking these developments. Everyone needs to support our civic society, DOCRA, because our voices collectively matter. And without that, we are facing some serious risks as a municipality. And we are witnessing all this that's unfolding real time around the country. So right now, we all need to have a collective voice, and we have to support our civic organization, DOCRA. You guys are doing a good job. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you so
much. This is Uncensored. I'm Penny Faree. Thank you for joining us.
Uncensored was proudly brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security. When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology. They protect over 50 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.